I'm Scott Sands, that's Shaggy on Sports, and right now we're going to talk about the lack of executions taking place here in the state of Ohio over the last couple of years. The last execution was in 2014, and there's not another execution scheduled in the state of Ohio until 2017. Kevin Werner is the executive director of Ohioans to Stop Executions. OTSE.org is the website. Kevin, good afternoon.
Thanks, Scott. It's great to be here.
So what's the problem you have? What's the opposition case against the death penalty?
Well, most easily understood, I think, by you know, folks, is that the death penalty, as we were promised, you know, back in 1981, years ago, all the things that the death penalty was supposed to do to deter crime and to, you know, be a way of closure for victims' families and to be cost effective and to not get the wrong person and to not make mistakes, all of those things are just flat wrong. And we understand so much more about the way the death penalty is administered today than we knew back then. So what we see is a system that, causes more harm to victims' family members who are trying to move forward with their lives. They're trying to grieve because it hauls them into court every 6 months or every year, and then they have to relive the worst day of their lives.
Well, it seems to me the argument would be to execute the criminal faster rather than going through such a lengthy appeals process, put them to death sooner, and then the victims' families don't have to deal with it.
Well, the reality, Scott, is that Ohio has already shortened the appeals process as much as possible. We've already eliminated a whole entire line of appeals. It's not even that so much the time that it takes. I mean, because what we have to remember is Ohio is a state that has got it wrong at least 9 times. We have 9 death row exonerees who today, could have been executed had it not been for some extraordinary work by advocates to prove that they're innocent. So the more you speed up the timeline, the process, the more likely you are going to make a mistake and you're going to execute somebody who's innocent.
Yeah, but so, let's be honest, though. Unfortunately, no system of justice can produce results which are 100% certain all of the time. Mistakes are going to be made in any system which relies on human testimony for proof. So we should be vigilant to uncover those mistakes, but still we need to carry out a form of punishment that will act as a deterrent to avoid future crimes along the same lines.
Yeah, so I say it's a good point. It's a fair point. But the bottom line is the data suggests that, A, the death penalty doesn't do a lick to deter crime. If anything, the states that retain the death penalty have higher rates of violent crime, number one. And number two, you know, the Supreme Court has said, courts have said, death is different. And we have to have higher standards in place when we're talking about taking someone's life. You know, I don't necessarily trust the government to fill potholes and to collect and distribute taxes. What makes me then confident that they can do okay sorting out matters of life and death? So the bottom line is that the death penalty system as it is today really comes down to, A, did you kill a person? B, which county did you commit the crime in? And C, what's your economic status? Can you afford to have the best of the best lawyers or not? Because the outcomes, Scott, that we see routinely again and again are that the death penalty is very much in decline. And I want to talk, I know you had sort of set this up with, why haven't we had an execution since January of 14. And the reason that is, Ohio went out on a pretty scary limb in 2014 when it executed Dennis McGuire. It did so with an untested, untried, never before been done protocol. And Ohio was warned in court pleadings before that if you use this combination, then the result is not is going to be, they call it an air. It was going to be not the result that Ohio wanted, but it did it anyway.
Right. It took 25 minutes to die, correct?
Yeah, and then we saw the same drugs used right after that in other states, and we're talking about, I forget, 60 different injections. The guy was gasping for, I don't know, the 2 hours. I mean, the things that the doctor said, this is going to happen if you use this combination, those are the things that happen.
Right, but in Bays versus Reese in 2001, Chief Justice Roberts overturned the opinion of Farmer versus Brennan, which said that simply because an execution method might result in pain, either by accident or as an inescapable consequence of death, that does not establish the sort of objectively intolerable risk of harm. Basically saying that the death penalty method that Ohio tried in 2014 was not a violation of the Eighth Amendment.
Well, you gotta get the timeline right here. The Bays versus Reese case was in 2008, and that was really that was a very narrow ruling. Basically, could boil it down to unless you know the state is intentionally trying to cause harm or to cause pain. You know, Dennis McGuire took place. The execution of McGuire took place in 2014. So, you know, it is the Bays
right? So 2014 yeah. was within yeah. Was within the context and definition set forth in Bays versus Reese.
Bays versus Reese was talking about a 3-drug protocol that Ohio had to abandon because of some other problems. So you can't really compare apples to these oranges. But the bottom line, though, I think is still that Ohio and so many other states around the country cannot get these drugs that they want to use in executions because the manufacturers don't make them for executions. They make them for emergency medical procedures that save lives. So the drug makers have said, you know, you all are violating some federal laws in terms of misusing the drugs that we make, so we can't be part of this. And so they've sort of pulled out. And so now states like Ohio are trying to do things like, you know, get a license to import drugs and getting the help from lawyers at, you know, tens of thousands of dollars at the taxpayer's expense to sort of find a way to skirt these federal laws that they know they're breaking. They're asking doctors, they're asking pharmacists to ignore that oath that they take to do no harm and just you know, play along and get us what we need here with these drugs.
Well, so Kevin, why don't we take the lethal injection aspect out of it? Instead of doing a lethal injection, why couldn't the state move towards the electric chair, hanging, firing squad, any number of ways to punish a criminal?
Well, that's actually what the state has to sort out now in the next couple of years. I mean, you know, we're supposed to get back to executing in January, and to this day, there's no protocol in place that is really able to be used. My guess, Scott, is that if Ohio changes its method, it will hasten the end of the time that we have the death penalty. You're sort of inviting court challenges, you're inviting litigation, you're inviting some things that would probably lean more toward we're going to no longer have the death penalty in Ohio. Remember, the Ohio Constitution is really what's most important, and the Ohio Constitution says that the death penalty, when it's administered, has to be quick and painless. And I would suggest that the botched executions that have happened over the years in Ohio were neither quick nor painless, but, you know, take the witnesses' accounts for that. So, you know, the more, and it really doesn't matter, Scott, that, you know, the way that we're executing people, that's almost irrelevant.
There's no way to put someone to death without it being painful in some particular way.
Well, it's not even that. It's got to say we don't even have to do this anymore.
Do we punish criminals? We're going to let these murderers go unpunished and languish on death row for 40 or 50 years until they die of natural causes?
No, what we're saying is that when you look across the state of Ohio and you look at what the vast majority of death penalty cases, what the outcomes are, is they are life without parole sentences. The vast majority. Since life without parole became an option, we've got, I think it's over 500 people now in the state of Ohio serving life without parole sentences. So the choice that juries and judges are making on these tough cases that have unbelievably horrible facts and circumstances is life without parole. When you ask Ohioans where they are on the issue of the death penalty and you give them the option of life without parole, restitution to the victims' families, I mean, what hard labor, whatever you want to call that.
Yeah, there's no restitution towards a victim's family. That's just a misnomer.
Well, You tell me how you define that, and I'll tell you if it's a misnomer.
Your most restitution is dealt in a monetary compensation manner, which 99% of convicted murderers are not going to be able to fulfill. That's why most wrongful death cases go unpaid.
Okay, well, that's not. I have a different view of that, but I don't want to get off the point. But the idea, though, is clearly that judges and juries are not going with the death penalty. It's so rare now that we even have a death penalty case. Let me give you an example. Last year, 2015, Cuyahoga County, Summit County, those are two of the highest used death penalty counties in the state, let alone the country, and not a single new death penalty case came out of either one of those counties last year. So, you know, again, the public has really moved away from the death penalty.
Right. And I understand that. It's very hard for a civilian who is sitting on a jury to commit another human being to execution. However, when those death penalties are issued by the jury as part of the sentence that's handed out, I think that needs to be honored as a form of punishment to deter future crimes and to punish the murderer who was just convicted and sentenced to death. Can you hold on for just a second?
Sure.
I want to see if we have any callers or comments or questions for you, and we'll spend a couple of minutes on the other side of this break. We're talking with Kevin Werner, Executive Director of Ohioans Stop Executions. Their website is otse.org, and if you've got a question, call me right now here at 419-214-1370 on The Scott Show. Talking with Kevin Werner, who is the Executive Director of Ohioans Stop Executions. Got a couple of people with questions and comments. Let's go to Roy first at 419-214-1370 in Waterville. Roy, hi, you're on News Radio 1370.
Thanks, Scott. I have to take a disagreement with you. There is a very humane and painless way to put people to death, and that is a gunshot to the brain.
Well, and that's
22.
what I mentioned was using a firing squad.
Well, a firing squad is fine, but why even go to that? I mean, you'll find people that are willing to put a bullet to somebody's head and even use a 45 or a 44, anything. It's immediate. It cuts off their central nervous system. It might be a little messy, but it certainly would be cheaper than what we're doing now and a lot more effective.
Yeah, the cost to keep someone on death row, I believe, is estimated to be around $2 million a year. I don't have those numbers in front of me. Kevin, is that accurate at all?
No, it's a little off. You're doubling the what it costs to keep somebody on death row.
Well, once you factor in the legal costs, it's about $2 million per case when you go through the entire prosecution and appeal process, and then about $1 million to keep somebody on death row for 50 years. So you're looking at about $1.2 to $3.6 million.
Scott, your numbers are really, really off.
This is according to the Justice for All Death Penalty Resources figures.
No, the most recent numbers that have come out of Ohio have been it's about a 3-to-1 difference. It's about three times more expensive to sentence someone to death in Ohio, to keep them incarcerated, to carry out the sentence, than it is for a life without parole. So we got a 3-to-1 ratio. The bottom line is it is tens of millions of dollars a year more to taxpayers to sentence people to death and to carry out those appeals processes than it is to life without parole. You know, they're guilty, then lock them up, throw away the key, everybody moves.
Well, that goes towards supporting my cause to shorten the appeals process.
Yeah, and again, we've expensive. Already done that. The only thing we could do, Scott,
by one layer.
Beyond what we could do to shorten the appeals process is we can secede from the United States of America because it's the federal constitution that is at play. So, I mean, that's we've shortened it as much as we can. And I know it's frustrating for families. I know it's frustrating for law enforcement. I know it's frustrating for everybody. But if we're going to have the death penalty system, then we have to make sure that we get it right. And right now, Ohio has not shown that it's capable of doing that all the time, and that's my concern.
What states have most recently abolished the death penalty in their states, abolished capital punishment, and what has happened to the crime statistics, capital crimes in those states since the time the death penalty was abolished?
Yeah, so the most recent was Nebraska. It's a pretty conservative state. Actually, the Republicans who lead the state of Nebraska were the biggest proponents of repealing there. Nebraska's death penalty was just abolished just not too many months ago, so I don't know that there are any, you know, it's not been a full year. What we did here after New Jersey abolished the death penalty, New Jersey was there was sort of a series of seven states had abolished in 7 years from like 2005 to like 2012. And what we heard were a couple things. First, prosecutors said there's no disadvantage to our ability to engage in effective plea bargaining without the death penalty. So we understand we don't need the death penalty in order to effectively plea bargain. But secondly, like I said before, the states that have repealed the death penalty have lower violent crime statistics than those that do not. And all the studies that you look at bear that out. So what happens in most cases, Scott, is that the resources that are freed up when you don't have capital systems go back into the law enforcement community to solve those cold cases and to be put forth for victims' families to begin to heal and to deal with the counseling and all the things that are impacting a person's life when they go through a traumatic experience. So repealing the death penalty is better for the criminal justice system as we know it.
Kevin, I appreciate your time. We've got some other people who are calling in, but we're not going to have time before the top of the hour. Bruce, Steve, Jake, if you want to talk about this more, we'll take your calls after 5:30. And Kevin, I appreciate your time. What's your website and what kind of resources do you have available on it?
Sure. Everything that you would need and want to know about Ohio's death penalty is there. It's www.otse.org. Scott, I'll come back and talk anytime. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Kevin Werner, Executive Director of Ohioans to Stop Executions. Again, you can find out more at otsc.org. Bruce, Jake, and anyone else who had questions or comments, I'd welcome your calls after 5:30 when we do the Hot 5 at 5.